I've described a very high-level view of what it is we want to achieve. We now have to confront reality. How much data is being produced? We've talked about the LSST and 150 petabytes. That's pretty small. We need to talk about what a petaflop computer can generate, and it'll be a lot more than 150 petabytes of data. We then want to talk about how to move that data at scale into caches and the research issues associated with indexing very large, massive data sets. So I'd like to invite Michelle Butler up here to discuss generation of massive data sets.
Well, this is being brought up, but I just wanted to thank Bob, or at least here he is, Bob, for inviting me. This has been a very large collection of storage people that I haven't seen in a long time. There's a lot of, you go to the Mass Storage Conference, and there's a lot of academia there. It's really great to see a lot of people in the same room as storage. So I'm humble in the face of all these people here. I wasn't quite sure, besides talking about the new machine, which I'm extremely limited in what I can say about the new machine. If you read these slides, we've been granted the Track 1 proposal. It's a sustained petaflop-sized machine. So it's going to be big. It's sustained petaflop, so that means it's got to be bigger than just a normal petaflop-sized machine. The system will be production in June 30th, 2011. So that's production. We take production extremely seriously, which means that users will be getting on there, normal users, so we've got to make the environment well for them to be able to use their data. Here's some dates of when we were awarded it. Hopefully it will be approved very soon, so that's why I can't really talk about it too much, because it's not all approved yet. We don't have all the agreements in place. This is just comparing one of our current machines. This is one of our largest machines on the floor today. We have three or four other machines, but just comparing our largest machine to the Blue Waters machine. The Blue Waters is the Track 1 petascale type machine. The vendor is IBM. I can say that. Woohoo! It is based on a Power 7. Peak performance, I can't tell you what the peak performance is yet. Currently, Abe is at 90 teraflops. Sustained performance is, you can read all these slides. I don't want to name them to you. But the most important ones to my near and dear heart is the amount of disk storage and the amount of archival storage. I can't tell you how much how much is going to be there on the machine, but it's way bigger than this. Bigger than the 10 petaflops that's written here. On Abe, this is wrong. I don't know who did these slides. It actually has about 300 terabytes on Abe today. The archival storage is 5 petabytes today in our machine environment, and we're looking at pretty close to 5 exabytes in our archival system after 10 years in the Blue Waters machine. The first, what we found at NCSA is that we increased by 75% to 100-fold% every year of our archival storage system. So I've been in the archive system production and research for 20 years. I don't know how old I am. We have doubled every year. When I started NCSA, it was 2 terabytes. Woohoo! And now we are at 5 petabytes. You can see how we've grown, and next year we'll be at 10. So this is my last slide. I'm sorry I can't say more. Stay tuned. It'll be really cool. So other than that, for my environment area and what I'm working on in this machine, is the large file system be backed in by the archival system. So there won't be an archival system that you'll have to go and get your files out of the room, bring it to a disk cache, and then work on it. There'll be a seamless connection between those two. There'll be a tightly integration of the file systems to that actual archival system, and then we're also working on eventually those file systems tied into the other Track machines and the other TerraGrid machines out there. And those are the WAN file systems and those types of things that people have been discussing this morning. User policies, so the seamless transfer, then user policies for resident and archival storage. And Regan actually got to some of this, is having control of your data and how you actually want it stored, how you want to retrieve it, who can actually do that retrieval, and who can actually get that much data out of there. An import-export facility, be able to bring that data in and out and reliably transfer it when your job is done, reliable transfer it in before the job starts. We don't want a huge computer sitting around waiting for data coming in and out. Job submissions, I already talked about that, data readiness, and data reliability, integral part. So this is production. It's not research, which means that we can't lose data. In the 19 years, 20 years I've been working in it, NCSA, I've only lost one file that I know of in the archival system. So it's very important. We need to make sure that right now in the mass storage system, we duplicate copy every single one of our files to another case and another location. So we can't afford to do that with 5 exabytes. It's kind of expensive. So we need to make sure that we're doing really, really different types of policies at that point, or different types of technologies that will save the data integrity, be able to enable us within the 10 years of that scope of that project, be able to write the data and migrate it to new technologies so we're not relying on technologies that are 10 years old, but also keep the data integrity and the user's data well so we don't lose anything. I think that's my last slide. Oh, no, I think I've got one more. Ah, LSST, forgot about that one. So I wasn't told to talk about this, but everybody's mentioned it, so I'll mention it too. We're actually part of the archival site for LSST. This number keeps changing. It started out, when I started out with the project 3 years ago, it was 12 terabytes a day. For at least 320 days, they're going to be collecting 15 terabytes a day coming out of the telescope. So we transferred up to us. The pipeline processing is going to create 75 terabytes a day, and that's going to be publicly accessible. So every 3 days, there will be a complete picture of the sky. Today, you can only view every 15 days. So there will be a lot of more objects you can see move, et cetera. There will be 22 petabytes of online storage associated with most of them. Will be associated with either the disk caches or the databases. Those will be a collection of fast, slow, and probably solid state. At the end of the project, this number changes too. Right now it's 150. It was 120. The thing that really scares me about the LSST project the most is that they want to reprocess every year's data at year end. So at year end of year one, they'll reprocess year two when they're getting year three. In year four, they're going to reprocess three, two, and one. And then by year 10, they're going to reprocess 10, 9, 8 all the way down. So not only the data is just going to be stuck in an archive and no one's going to see it, it's actually going to be reprocessed every year, so it has to be brought back up. So now all the technologies have to be able to reread at the end your 120, 150 petabytes of data reprocessed. And